Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Thank you so much for inviting me here this morning. I know last time I was here, I said that it felt like coming home because my background is religious science. And it feels exactly the same way today, so I'm just delighted to be here. And I have an invitation for you. I know there were a lot of announcements, so we'll just do this semi-announcement invitation now. And that is, I put some flyers in on the welcome table. I serve on the Board of Trustees of Christ Love Ministries. It was founded many years ago by Reverend Marjorie Dawson. She was a good friend of the late Reverend Marcia Sutton. Anyway, and so I am honored to serve on that board. And we are offering this coming Sunday morning, July 25, from 8 a.m. to 10, I know that's early, it's early for me. Anyway, Pacific time, on Zoom, a session called A Morning of Peace. Because there is so much going on, as you know, everywhere, around the world, in our own community, in our own lives. And so this will be quite special. And I would like to extend an invitation to everyone. And like I said, I have flyers on the entry table. However, it's pretty hard to click on a Zoom link on a piece of paper, at least for me. And so if you would like me to send you the Zoom link, so all you have to do is click on it, just let me know afterwards, let me know your email address, and I would be delighted to do that. I'm so looking forward to this because peace, whatever we can do to raise that consciousness of peace around the globe, to raise the vibration of all of creation, we come together and do that. So I heartily and lovingly invite you Saturday morning to join us. You know, I was recently reminded of something in a class because I like to join in community, just like you guys have so much going on here. Very, very exciting. But I was recently reminded you cannot create a new reality from an old identity. Right? You know, that caterpillar has to first totally and completely let go of being a crawling, leggy, herring little being in order to transform into a new reality of a butterfly. And they do it all the time, and they do it quite naturally. And we can do that too, even though it doesn't always feel like it's quite natural and easy. So often we say, oh my God, what am I supposed to do? What to do? Because we go through life doing the same thing over and over. We just keep on doing what we're doing, and then we say, well, why isn't that changing? I read that book. It's more than reading a book. It's being it. It's being peace, right? We can't just keep responding to the same old poke in the same way. And that doesn't always turn out the way we imagine when we go through life on rote. Here's a story of a golfer and a farmer. And so this golfer, just ask him, he'd tell you he was a really good golfer. However, he happened to slice his ball into a field of chickens, hit one of the hens, and killed it instantly. Oh my gosh. He was so upset. And he went and he found the farmer and he said, you know, I am so sorry, my terrible shot. Oh my gosh, it hit and killed one of your hens. Can I replace the hen? The farmer said, well, I don't know about that. Replace the hen. How many How many eggs a day do you lay? That was funny, yeah. Okay. That was pretty good, right? Okay, well, let's move on. In each and every situation, every thought, every decision, every crossroad, every breath, every transformation, every change, every threshold, we are at choice. Volition, right? That's that double-edged sword. We are at choice. And so the question is, so what to do? What is mine to do today? Do I just keep doing what I did yesterday? Maybe. Just don't expect a different result because it's not going to happen. So often I say to myself, okay, where do I start? Look at this decision. Look at that. Where do I start? Well, here's a starting point. For every choice, we have some different options here. We can fear it. Whatever that choice is, we can say, oh, you know what? Yeah, no. No, you know, I'm never going to watch the news again. Never. Until we see that headline that's clickbait, right? I'm afraid of that stuff. I don't want to look at it. We just keep on doing what we're doing. I will say, though, that I'm not going to look at any headlines on the way home today because I am recording the World Cup final game today. And I don't want to know until I get home and I get my sparkling water out and I can just enjoy the game. So no spoiler alerts here. So we can fear it. Whatever that decision is, it's like, yeah, I'll put that off. I'm not even going to look at it. We can fix it. Yeah, right? When we fix it, what do? We deal with the effects, right? We deal with the symptoms, and how we deal with them is through the distortion of our own opinions and judgments. And then we say, oh my gosh, that didn't work. Because it keeps coming back over and over. So we can fear it, we can fix it, we can face it. We can face it. You know, I know this decision, this fear, whatever it is, keeps bubbling up. You know, it's not new. Okay, maybe instead of turning away, instead of trying to fix it, you know, rearrange the chairs on the Titanic, maybe I'll just stop that. And I will face it instead. And the fourth thing we can do is we can free it. We can fully surrender into that space of one, of oneness, of tranquility, of joy. We can soften our body and our mind and our spirit and graciously breathe unity and light and love. We can't do all of those at once. We can't even do two of them at once. I'm a pretty good multitasker, and I wouldn't even try it. You know, I almost call this talk Ms. Fix-It, because that was my go-to label, right? When we label ourselves in that way, in any way, it is harder to change, to shift. Because whatever label we give ourselves is our own self-inflicted identity. And it's never who we truly are, because who we truly are is love. But that label that we put on that says, Reverend Jean Celia, well, that's sweet. Miss Fix It, well, that's sweet. That's not who I am. It's a self-inflicted identity, and it's a barrier to our own growth and our own deepening. You know, I like to watch shows on mostly on my iPad. But anyway, I like Agatha Raisin. Anyone else here ever seen Agatha Raisin on? Well, I'm no one. It's on either BritBox or Acorn or one of those. Anyway, Mrs. Bloxby, who's the vicar's wife, said to Agatha Raisin, you know, Agatha, people talk because talk is easier than changing. Do you find that to be true? We talk, and we talk, and we talk, and we say, oh, yeah, well, that's my intention. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, but I can say that's my intention, and then maybe I'll feel better about myself. Yeah. We think of ourselves in a certain way, like Miss Fix It, and it's easier to stay misfix it than it is to let it go and to choose and to make way for that growth and that newness, for raised consciousness. It is much easier to just keep doing what we're doing, to leave that label right there. So let's go over those options again. You know, in this world, you may not have noticed this, but there's a lot going on out there, and there's a lot of stuff that is behavior that is contrary to the notion of love. There is a bit of apparent darkness, a bit of violence, a bit of shame and blame, a bit of lying. And so in this world, it's easy to fear things, isn't it? It just almost seems natural to fear others. Well, there is no other because there is only God. And yet our humanness says, oh, you know, there's only God, and that's great. I'm one with you, but I'm not one with so-and-so. Oh my gosh, please. Ooh. It's easy to fear others. Fear of losing, fear of failure, fear of not being worthy of your good. And what's more than that? Fear of being worthy of our good. Because once we realize that we are worthy of all good, what do we have to do? We have to change. It's like, oh yeah, I deserve that. I deserve that, I don't know, giant sundae from Cold Stone. Whatever it is. But I need to shift in order to actually go and order it and enjoy it. Okay, I order them and enjoy them all the time, but just an example. So the question is, what do I need to release and to let go of in order to accept the flow of good? Because that flow is happening right here, right now, incessantly, the flow of good, grace, gracious love, gracious plenty. So what is it that we need to let go of in order to say, yes, fill my freezer with that ice cream, thank you. We have to shift in order to accept our good. And it's easier to talk and to fear and complain and whine than it is to change, at least for me. My 2026 Lenten question, I usually, for Lent, have a question that I sit with. It's whatever comes up for me in the beginning of Lent. And this was it. The door is wide open. Why are you still sitting in the cell? In the virtual cell that you designed, that you constructed, that you inhabit, that keeps you enfolded in that fear. And so I ask you, why are you still sitting in that cell? Why are you still clinging to that false belief? Because the door is wide open. The door is wide open. Often, walking across that threshold of newness, of change, it seems daunting, overwhelming. Like, oh my gosh, tomorrow. Reminds me of many years ago, I was at the Mangy Moose Tavern somewhere in Montana, seriously. And there was a sign over the bar that said, free beer tomorrow. Right? So I said to my friend, let's come back tomorrow. And the sign was still there. And the bartender said, well, this is today. I was like, oh. Okay. I know I'm back here somewhere. Okay. It's like, okay, I'll just sit here in my cell rather than go for a walk. Because you know what? It's easier to whine about, oh, yeah, I'm not really too fit and I'm not really too thin and, yeah. It's easier to do that than to put my sneakers on and cross that threshold of my front door and go for a walk. Sherlock Holmes, who is a hero of mine, said, people do not investigate what they are afraid to approach. And so if there is something that seems so overwhelming and so big and so unapproachable, we just turn away and let it be. You know, my husband listens on YouTube to this one guy, I don't remember who it is, and the fellow on YouTube regularly says, grin and ignore it. Just grin and ignore it. It'll go away or it'll get bigger, I don't know, but ignore it, right? Maybe that's a universal law because so many of us do it. I don't know that. I don't think Ernest Holmes taught that, but maybe. What we fear so often just stays ignored and hidden, and it runs our lives. You know, I had this sense, as I was thinking about this, of little moles running around. You know, they have those underground tunnels, and it's complex, and it's deep and not so deep, and all these little moles running around underground, laughing and laughing and tugging at the roots of our plants, which are our own false beliefs, right? We plant those false beliefs, and we water them, and we nurture them, and we feed them. And then there comes that little awareness mole that kind of yanks on it a little bit and says, ah. And we just say, ah, go away. Just kill the mole, right? Even though that's what is allowing that awareness to come to us. The moles are shaking things up. And until we unearth those moles, those false beliefs, the fears, remember false evidence appearing real, until we unearth the moles, the false beliefs that we have claimed as our own will continue running amok. You have anything running amok in your life this morning? I can put both hands up. Carl Jung wrote, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. Not my fault, it's fate. And so we can stay in that spiral of ignorance and denial, or we can say, as is my motto, oh, I can fix that. Oh, geez, oh, that's no problem, let me fix it. You know, you should do this, and that would fix it. I like shoulding on people because it's up to them, and I tell them what they should do. Well, I don't have to look at my own plants that the moles are tugging on, right? It's so easy to slip into that with your family, your friends, your neighbors, strangers. It doesn't matter. It's like, oh my gosh, you have this going on? Oh, let me tell you, this is the way to take care of that, right? You know, I owned and managed a few businesses. I worked for the local and state governments in many roles. And fix it was my job description. That was it. And I was pretty good at it. Since I retired, however, I discovered that unraveling that behavior is not so quick or easy, you know? And remember, you cannot create a new reality with an old identity. Now my mantra is, you may have heard this before, it's one of my favorites. My mantra is, not my circus, not my monkey. Right? I'm here to support you in whatever way I can. However, I am not stepping into that circus ring with you. That's your circus, your ring. I'm here to support you and either listen or sympathize or bring some truth, whatever it is, whatever serves you. But I'm not getting in that ring with you. And so at some point, we may choose, whatever the decision is, we may choose to face it. Oh my gosh. Okay, this is my choice, it's my decision, my crossroad. And you know what? I am a powerful woman, which if I was in town, I would go to that. That's gonna be an amazing, amazing experience. And permanent change. It's like, okay, this is my decision. I'm strong enough and I'm courageous enough to face it. I don't have to run from it anymore. I don't have to try to fix the deck chairs on the Titanic. I can face this. Reverend Kathy Beasley said, "What I face matters less than who I am while facing it." Right? Challenges will come. Uncertainty will appear. Fear may speak. And none of it gets to define me. None of it gets to define me. I am facing this. No grinning and ignoring, no spiraling in fear, no fixing the symptoms that just show up again some way, somehow. This gets down to the nitty-gritty. This is when we support one another. This is when we work with a practitioner, with a spiritual counselor. It's when we sit in our prayer chair, when we chant, and when we talk with a minister, and when we meditate and contemplate and read. This is where the rubber meets the road. We get quiet and begin to surrender. To surrender whatever is keeping us from the kingdom. And so we begin to identify and unearth some of those moles. Reminding ourselves that God is I am. Willing to let go, to trust, to let be. I'm facing this. I'm not running anymore. James Baldwin wrote, "Not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced." You know, I was sitting in silence recently, and this came to me. Sacred day, sacred night, sacred breath, sacred light. I soften, I let go, I let be. I am, I am. Alleluia. And that just takes me back to center, to source. I soften, I let go, I let be. All is sacred, and I let it be free. And that is our fourth and ultimate way to decide, to choose, to walk our path, and that is to free it. It's a sense that, you know, I get to do this. I don't have to do it. I get to come here and share this morning with you. I don't have to. Goodness knows I could have stayed in bed. But no, this is a gift to be here. I'll say, what a difference a word makes, right? Things don't happen to me, things happen for me. Because everything that happens is a flare to show me where I am in that moment. And to point one of those plants of false belief that I get to let go of. I don't have to. I have a saying in my kitchen, a little plaque. It says, "With God, all things are possible." You know that one. I switch it up to say, "In God, all good is inevitable." Inevitable. And what I often remind myself is, if God is your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. Steph Curry wrote, "Be the best version of yourself in anything you do. You don't have to live anybody else's story." Just let it go. Free it. Because when we live from our connection, from our unity, from our oneness, with spirit, no matter the appearance, all is good, all is God, all is love, all is light. That is freedom, and that is peace. And I know how many times I've talked about these things and taught classes and whatever, and I still am kind of surprised, I don't know why, but when I find myself, when something comes up and I say, oh yeah, I'll deal with that tomorrow. It's like, Jean, come on. But we all go through that. And being aware of what's going on is the gift. You cannot create a new reality from an old identity. Let go. Let be. Live beyond fear and beyond labels. Live as love manifest, as the presence of love in the world right here and now. Sacred day, sacred night, sacred breath, sacred light. I soften, I let go, I let be. I am, hallelujah. Be in peace.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.